This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is South Carolina Senator Jim DeMint, who joins me now to discuss the developments today in the Senate regarding the health care reconciliation debate, as well as some of the provisions inside those so-called fixes in the bill. And Senator, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Greg. I'm afraid there really weren't any fixes. There were some additional taxes, and there was a takeover of the student loan program, which, oddly enough, was put in there to actually help pay for this health care entitlement. But it has been sent from the Senate back to the House. We were able to use a few points of order to at least force the House to vote again on it. There were a couple of little things related to education stripped out of it, but it is essentially that same tax increase bill that takes more money from Social Security. This reconciliation makes the bill much worse, but it will go through. The Senate will pass it, and our emphasis now is really on replacing those who voted for it, repealing the bill, and then getting on to some real reform.
Well, let's talk about a couple of the things you brought up. First of all, what are the new taxes?
Well, of course, there are more taxes on businesses who don't provide health insurance. I think it was in the $600 range. Now it's in the $2,000 range. A lot more small companies are included in the taxes. There used to be a kind of a 50-person exemption. It went down to 35. Then they said if you're in the construction-related business, you have to pay this penalty even if you have two employees. So anyone supplying a construction-related company, we think probably engineering, architecture, a lot of professional firms, are going to end up having to pay a new tax. And we've heard from really dozens, probably hundreds of businesses who have calculated the cost and are looking at how many people they need to lay off or locations they need to close down. This is going to be a huge job killer. It is a huge increase in our deficits, regardless of these smoke and mirror figures that they've been using. But I'm convinced, Greg, that if this bill stands, it's not only going to destroy our health system, it's going to bankrupt our country. So my whole emphasis is on this repealitpledge.com. It's a website, repealitpledge.com. We've got a couple of hundred thousand Americans already signed up who are committing to only supporting candidates for Congress or Senate who will repeal this bill. And we're going to keep pushing this all around the country. And we may not be able to repeal it after this November, but we will have enough new Republicans to slow down the implementation by cutting off funding. And then we elect a president in 2012 who will repeal this thing and replace it with some real reforms.
There are some, I guess, on the more moderate wing of the party that say that this is not the way to go, because if you repeal it all, then you're going to have to repeal some elements that most people like, including a lot of Republicans, the pre-existing conditions, not dropping coverage when people get sick and that sort of thing. Obviously, those aren't the biggest problems you have with the bill. But what do you say to those who say you're going to have to junk the whole thing if you want to get rid of the worst provisions like the mandate and like the tax increases and Medicare cuts?
Well, there are a lot better ways to provide insurance for pre-existing conditions than taxing Medicare or cutting Medicare and raising taxes on small businesses and putting huge amounts of debt on our children. You don't have to have a government solution to make health insurance more available to people with pre-existing conditions. Republicans have introduced plans that would support the development of risk pools at the state level so that every American, regardless of their health condition, could have access to an affordable policy. It doesn't have to be run at the federal level. So this idea that if I don't support a federal takeover of health care that I can't support getting people with pre-existing conditions insurance is completely ridiculous. And if we go back and start saying, hey, I like a few things in this bill, so let's keep the bill and try to amend it, that is an impossibility. This is like trying to fix the tax code. It needs to be thrown out, and it needs to be replaced with first insurance reform and then a step-by-step approach to actually lowering the cost of health insurance. When we do that, millions more Americans can afford it.
Senator, you also mentioned that involved in the so-called fixes here, which you say are not fixes at all, is a takeover of the student loan business in order to help pay for the health care deal. Explain for the typical college student how their life will change as a result of this.
Well, if a lot of students have to borrow money to go to college, and they'll pay probably somewhere between $1,500 and $2,000 more in interest under this health care plan over the course of their loan than they would if it stayed like it is. There are over 2,000 small companies around the country that assist in student loan program. The federal government's going to put all of those out of business along with about 30,000 employees and take it over as a government function. But instead of charging the 2.8% or so that they have to pay for money, the federal government's going to charge 6.8%, and the profit is going to be used to pay for this new entitlement. So students are going to pay probably a couple of thousand dollars more for their student loan so we can provide this new health care entitlement. So the pain is being spread around, but it is really not fair, first of all, to replace private businesses, to lay off so many workers, but then to overcharge students for loans and say that lowers the cost of health care. This is so much smoke and mirrors. I've never seen so much dishonesty in anything that's been done up here since I came.
A couple minutes left with South Carolina Senator Jim DeMint. And, Senator, you know, obviously, that since the House vote on health care on Sunday night, one of the things we've been hearing a lot from Democrats is threats, phone messages, the things that perhaps happened in the rally over the weekend that they say is indicative of perhaps a dangerous element within the Tea Party movement that I know that you have encouraged, not the behavior, but the Tea Party movement itself. Now we have today Eric Cantor and some others saying that that behavior cannot be tolerated, but they're blowing this out of proportion. What can you say about that?
Well, I've been to dozens and dozens of Tea Parties. I've mingled with thousands of folks who come. I've never seen or heard a racist comment or seen any violence. And when we had our 9/12 rally up here with nearly a million people, there was hardly a drop of litter on the ground when they left. I mean, these are good American people. I'm convinced those people last weekend in the Capitol were probably plants. Now they're starting to send people to these Tea Parties to disrupt them and to do things that that are off color, to try to paint with one brush this whole movement, people calling them radicals and terrorists. So there's no place in this movement for any violence or racism, but there's also no place to paint this whole movement, which is really an awakening of the American people. We cannot say that any of this racism represents these people, because that's just absolutely false.
Senator, great to have you with us again today, as always. We appreciate your time greatly.
All right. Glad to do it. Thanks.
Thank you, sir. South Carolina Senator Jim DeMint. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.